Qantas Airlines is testing the viability of long-haul flights from New York and London to the east coast of Australia. The 19 to 20-hour test flights are scheduled to start in October. The airline wants to know how spending so much time in the air affects the human body. Let's bring in Captain Larry Rooney. He's president of the Coalition of Airline Pilots Associations and a pilot for American Airlines. Captain Rooney, welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me today.
And first of all, my goodness, who wants to be on an airplane for that long?
Well, it'll certainly be an endurance test, not only for the passengers, but for the flight crews.
What's the longest flight you've ever flown?
I would say around 11 or 12 hours would have been my endurance test.
Really?
But I haven't done that in a very, very long time. I recently flew back from Prague a week or so ago as a passenger, and 9 hours and change, that was long enough for me.
Well, right. So the people on these Qantas test flights will be fitted with wearable technology. It's going to measure their melatonin levels. The pilots will wear an EEG to track brainwave patterns. What concerns would you have about your own health on a 19 to 20-hour flight?
Well, you know, depending on the pilot's age, hypoxia would be a consideration. Very, very long exposure to very dry atmospheres and high-altitude flying. The typical cabin of an aircraft would be equivalent to, you know, Denver plus 1,000 feet or so, but for an extended period of time, you know, rather than the 10 hours that, you know, would be pretty commonplace today, to extend it to double that amount of time. I think that that would be something that the people would be looking at, that would have the expertise to be able to measure those metrics.
And how many pilots would you need? I guess you'd probably have to take a break to sleep at some point.
Well, that would be a huge component as well. And, I mean, it's uncharted territory at this point. As flights get progressively longer, the airlines have to staff with additional pilots. And that's for, you know, several reasons. The importance is that the most alert crew is the crew that lands the airplane at the destination. Hmm. In order to do that, as flights get longer and longer in length, they keep adding additional crew members so that there's always somebody that is able to get rest. And again, the goal is to make sure that the most rested pilot is the one that completes the landing at the end of this long endurance flight. We have added additional crew members and additional crews, but to get to the length of flights that we're talking now, it's uncharted territory as to how the regulators would require those airplanes to be staffed.
Well, Singapore Airlines has a nonstop 9,500-mile flight from Newark, New Jersey to Singapore. It clocks in at 18 hours and 30 minutes, so close there. Qatar Airways has an 18-hour flight from Auckland to Doha. We've been talking about the crew. What about the passengers? What are airlines doing to keep their passengers comfortable?
Well, I mean, I can't speak for an individual carrier, because I'm sure that each of them, you know, would use the accoutrements that they provide on the airplanes as a technique in order to get sales, I would think. But this would be something that a passenger would have to prepare for as well. Because of the long endurance, the way that a passenger would treat a flight to this length in order to be as most comfortable as possible on the arrival, certain things would, you know, as far as their habits, alcohol would be one that would certainly want to be much lower in intake when a flight is of that length, because of the dehydration issues that, you know, normally occur on flights of extreme lengths. This one obviously would be the most extreme length.
Well, there's been concerns about deep vein thrombosis on long flights. On these longer flights, you'd have to imagine that even more people would be vulnerable.
Well, and the ability for a passenger to get up and move, too, you know, as we keep cramming more and more people into the airplanes, you know, the ability for them to have free space in order to be able to move around becomes more and more restrictive. It's my understanding, though, that the flights to date, the ones that have been these ultra-long flights, have not been packed with economy class seats. They're more where their business class are better, so that the passengers that are traveling on these extreme long flights have the ability to move around more than they would if it was a domestic 737, let's say.
Yeah, and a lot of these flights are on Boeing Dreamliners or on Airbus A350s. These are big, beautiful new planes. Tell me more about the technology that makes these flights possible.
Well, you know, as technology increases, the airplanes are getting lighter because of the composites that they're now able to build into the design. The engines become more efficient, and as such, they have longer durations that they can obtain because the fuel feeds the engines for longer since they're not quite as thirsty as they used to be. And with that, you know, you're starting to see now these ultra long flights that are taking place because of the abilities for the airplanes to do it. I think where we have to really look at this is the human machine, the interaction with the human machine, because of the technology increases, we have to ensure that the human machine is up to the challenge as
sure.
well.
Sure, and it sounds like that's what Qantas is doing, but I'm just curious, do you know how much fuel you would need for something like this?
Well, I would suspect it's all that the airplane would hold. But yeah, it would be to the absolute limit. We're talking a 20-hour flight. As far as what that would be in pounds, I'm not sure what the fuel burn of that particular airplane is because they're all slightly different.
You do make a good point, though. Airplanes are designed to have extra gas in the tank, right? So that if something happens, you don't have just enough to get you to where you need to be. I just wonder how much further you could push these planes to go.
Well, that would actually the plan would determine the ability for the flight to operate. The regulators do require airplanes to have a certain amount of reserve fuel available to them when they arrive at the destination. The flight crew, the captain, and the dispatcher who are jointly responsible for the flight would have to, you know, discuss whether or not that particular flight, that particular routing, the weather that would be, you know, that they would be facing on the arrival would allow that flight to operate, you know, nonstop. There's many times where flights that, you know, that could maybe go nonstop if all the conditions were right would have to make a technical stop for fuel somewhere en route just because they couldn't push it to that extent if they needed to pad the fuel reserves for contingencies, for weather, you know, for delays that could happen. So these are all things that go into the flight planning phase, and this would be no different for an ultra-long flight.
Qantas points out that no commercial airline has ever flown direct from New York to Australia. Do you think these ultra-long flights are the last frontier of aviation?
Well, they're the next frontier in aviation because there will always be another frontier in aviation. I think that has shown – we've learned that over the years from looking back to the 1920s to where we are today. I think we're constantly improving and you know, trying to get better technologies. You know, certainly what we fly with today on our cockpits are worlds apart from what I started with 35 years ago. So there's many, many changes that will – you know, and I think we'll continue to see these changes as we go forward.
That's Captain Larry Rooney. He's president of the Coalition of Airline Pilots Associations and a pilot for American Airlines. Larry, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me today.